Let's talk some Duck Hoops. Our guest covers, hoops, track and field for the Register Guard. Loves him some Minnesota sports. On Twitter, use the handle at CHanson_RG. Chris, how is Team Hanson doing here early in 2021?
We're doing well, Steve. Thanks, man. How are you?
We're hanging in there. I feel like that's the catch line for everybody. So.
Yeah.
Let's do a timeline. So somebody my age, if you said, hey, what do you remember about the Minnesota Vikings when you were younger? I'd go on about Fran Tarkington and Chuck Foreman and the Purple People Eaters. Now, I know you're younger than me, so I'm curious, if same question, would you be more post-Bud Grant in that kind of Tommy Kramer, Anthony Carter era?
Yes and no. Post-Bud Grant a little bit. But long before Anthony Carter, you know, I think my first memory of the Vikings that I go back to, my big memory is of Ahmad Rashad catching that one-handed pass against the Browns. I think that put the Vikings, he was either first round of the playoffs or put the Vikings into the playoffs. And that was in the late 70s, early 80s, I believe.
All right, so you're dating yourself. So.
But mostly... I'm of the heartbreak Vikings fandom from the 80s on up.
Oh, the
to now.
And of course, you know, when you were somewhat older and mature and an adult, you live with the Gary Anderson miss. All right. Just for clarity.
You went dark real fast in that.
But so again, same question as far as the Twins. You know, I go back to Rod Carew, Harmon Killebrew, Tony Oliva. So are you kind of a tweener, like vague memories of the 70s and more Brunansky,
yeah.
Puckett, and Gaetti?
Exactly. I do have Rod Carew memories, but mostly it's from about 85 on up, 84, 85 on up, when that initial crew that led them to the World Series in 87 came around. The Gaiettis, the Bernanskis, Puckett, Herbeck, that crew.
I'd imagine over the many years here, you had some interesting conversations with one Justin Myers about the 91 World Series.
Yeah, you know what's funny is Game 6 was on, the 91 World Series was on the MLB Network. This was early in the pandemic when you could be watching replays of baseball games at noon on a Wednesday. And I texted him and I was like, hey, you should turn on the TV. There's a good game going on right now. And it was like just a few minutes before Puckett launched that home run to win the game.
Charlie,
he wasn't as appreciative of it, yeah, as I thought he would be.
You're saying the idol didn't quite see the humor from your point of view. Oh, that's great.
He's had some better years than me, though, you know, in recent memory.
You know, not that a Twins fan would have a reason to like the Yankees, but when you consider the recent history, is it now more of a you detest everything pinstripes, or has that just always been the case?
No, it's not a detesting. It's just a deep-seated frustration. You know, it doesn't make sense to Twins fans that they can't get over this hump, and it doesn't make sense to Twins fans where every year when they think they have a good team, they face the Yankees in the first round of the playoffs and just get bounced in three games. It's frustrating.
All right. Now that we've got that all cleared out as we...
Yeah, can I go now?
Well, I'll make it up for you in beer the next time we could all go out.
Yeah, thanks, man.
All right, talking with Chris Hanson of the Register Guard. Obviously, you covered the men, but you also covered a women's game in the past week or two. And while they were dealt a couple of losses to some really good teams, you know, UCLA and number one Stanford. Chris, when you look at this team with those five freshmen and all those new faces, sure, they're good now. We don't know what they'll accomplish this year, but... How scary are they looking down the road?
So scary. You know what was... I haven't paid much attention to them this year because I've been so wrapped up in the men's... covering the men's team. But in that UCLA loss, what fascinated me was every time they made a run, Oregon made a run to try to claw back into it, it was with the freshmen on the court. Or at least four. There'd be four freshmen on the court. There was never... I don't think it was ever five, but there'd be four freshmen on the court and maybe Boley or maybe Sobley. And so they were the ones kind of driving the comeback, and that's what really impressed me. I think that team is going to be really good.
And they're going to be really fun once it all comes
together. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, very entertaining.
Yeah, they are. And I love the way they play for each other, the way the bench roots them on. If only we had fans. Prior to the men's...
Well, you know, the fans would have been great in that UCLA game, by the way, because it seemed like every time they would have made a comeback, you could just sense that the crowd would have been into it, that it would have kind of pushed them along a little bit more, that they just couldn't get over the hump. But you wonder how much a full house would have helped them.
No, I agree. So prior to the men's opener, we learned Will Richardson was dinged up, needed thumb surgery, out at least 6 weeks. That was about 5.5 weeks ago. You know, as opposed to a knee or an ankle, you could at least do your cardio. So what's the word about his possible return? And, you know, how important would that be for the, let's say, 10, 12 final games of the regular season and into the postseason?
Yeah, real important. I mean, considering they're on pause this week, and this was kind of, you're right, this was the first week that they thought he could be back. Maybe I think it was actually next week, that the first week they were hoping to get him back. You know, so they could come back on Tuesday and play UCLA, or come back a week later against Oregon State and have Will Richardson back. That would be a significant addition to their team, a team that, you know, I would say has overperformed what I would have thought, going 9-2 right now, 4-1 in the Pac-12. You know, with just kind of a, I don't want to say a hodgepodge of players because they're all pretty good, but, you know, just kind of mixing and matching as they go.
And
you know,
also,
to get that stabilizing force at point guard back would be pretty beneficial to them.
No, it feels like we're all kind of learning as we go along because of the lack of familiarity.
Yeah.
A few final thoughts for Chris Hansen of the Register Guard. We saw flashes from Chris Duarte last year. We know it was Peyton Pritchard's team, and then down the stretch, Will Richardson started to emerge. But some of these games, Chris has just taken over, basically carried him across the finish line. His ability to shoulder that burden, how critical has that been as all these new pieces kind of gel?
Very important. You know, for the last couple of years, you knew it was going to be Peyton Pritchard taking that shot. When games got tight, when they needed a big shot, when they needed a big three-pointer, and you wondered coming into this season who was going to replace that, not just the leadership or, you know, running the show as the point guard, but who's going to be the guy in the final minutes. And Duarte has really stepped up. He stepped up big against Stanford and Cal. You know, he had, in both of those games, he had those runs where he, a 14-0 run against Cal and an 11-0 run against Stanford late in the game that really sealed the win. Having that guy that you know can take that shot and lead you is important, and it was a big piece that Oregon needed to replace with the loss of Pritchard.
You know, another guy worth noting, I think, has been Eric Williams. I mean, I know he struggled against Colorado, then bounced back and had a key role against Utah. Mm-hmm. You know, a transfer, good player at Duquesne. Aside from Duarte, he's been their best three-point threat. How happy are the coaches with how he's come along, not just scoring, but big buckets and hitting the glass as well?
Yeah, Altman has praised him in the Dana Altman way, which is to make sure to say, you know, he needs to play harder. He's got some deficiencies, but he's really been impressed with what Williams has been able to bring to the team. You know, about a month ago, Altman was very specific in that they needed a defensive stopper, and he called out Williams in a post-game Zoom session saying, you know, hey, he could be the guy because he's athletic enough to be that guy. And it seems like ever since then, Williams really kind of heeded the call and has stepped up defensively, but the 19 points against Utah was also very significant on last Saturday.
You know, lastly, as simple as it sounds, I mean, we know, like you mentioned, they had to cancel games this week against the Arizona schools. They've got the UCLA makeup game Tuesday. So where are we at? Is there a timeline? And I guess throw in, what do you make of this? You know, the first time an Oregon team, football or men's or women's hoops, has had to pull the plug on the game because of COVID on their end.
Yeah, I mean, you knew it was going to happen. Right, this is just the reality that we're living with right now. You knew it was going to happen sometime. Bad timing for Oregon, I think. You know, they're 4-1 in the Pac-12, in tied for second with Stanford, and those guys not playing a couple games. All of a sudden, UCLA can go up to Washington this weekend and win a couple games and really just kind of pull away in the Pac-12 race. Stanford can put some distance on them if they get wins against Utah and Colorado. So it's tough. It's a tough time to be on break, but. Or to be on pause, excuse me. but yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Well,
and I don't know how long they're going to be out. I mean, they weren't very specific in what was behind the pause. I mean, we can assume it was a positive test, and if that's the case, you know, those players or players have to be, you know, isolated for 2 weeks, you know, or maybe it was multiple players and they need at least 8 scholarship players to even to play a game in the pack, according to Pac-12 rules. So maybe it was, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the end of this week.
Well, we have
How much longer they need to be down for, if at all.
Yeah, we've taken Chip Kelly's win the day philosophy to survive the day.
kidding, right?
It's unbelievable.
It doesn't have the same ring to it, though.
No, and it's not going to get us to a national championship game either. Folks, we're living in strange times. We appreciate the time of Chris Hansen of the Register Guard on Twitter at CHansen_RG. My friend, it's always fun catching up, wishing you and yours well and continued sanity, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, Steve. Thanks for the time.
All right. Have a good one.